continuing on with our topic today, soulmates, we had asked you guys on Discord and Twitter what kinds of soulmate fics you guys liked. And as we mentioned earlier, we were going to come back around. It's time for Calm Talks, and we're going to hear what you guys said. Flame, what did everyone think?
The overall vibe on the Discord was please and thank you all the soulmate fics now. However they come to us, the quirkier the better. The Discord mentioned ones where like you can meet your soulmate through their taste buds. There's soulmate matching services. All the oddball ones seem to be the one that our participants in the server liked the best. There was not a lot of direct links or I would be mentioning those. There was a lot of, I remember this one once.
Yeah.
Is kind of the entire way I consume fic. So solidarity, pals. And then, there was one person who was like, I just can't get them at all. And there was a little bit of conversation around that, but really what it was that this is such a wide open trope that intersects, especially with Steve and Tony in some really specific ways. That's just so delicious and so much fun. A couple of people brought up that there's a lot of good shrunky clunks one, which is again, where Bucky is a normal human and Steve is Captain America. Mm-hmm. And that the soulmates of them are really, really great. And then on Twitter, I asked and the way that I phrased the question was like, what is your favorite kind? Red string, words, symbols, or all of them, please. And on Twitter, I phrased it slightly differently. I said, what's your favorite kind of soulmate? Red string, words on skin, symbols on skin, or other. And in a runaway, words on skin got 56% of the vote.
Yeah, and that's interesting. If we take away I love them all on Discord, then words on skin was a runaway winner too.
Yeah. So that is the one that is often. And then Courtney B, who is at Storybook Colors on Twitter, replied and said, the words on skin is great, but I've seen some really great Sony fix built around having your soulmate's date of birth or something similar. And Tony just feels like his soulmate is dead or it must be a mistake. And then shenanigans. I completely agree. Anything that involves shenanigans, I'm here for. I'm on the record for liking shenanigans.
I do like date of birth ones or ones where Tony has like Stephen Grant Rogers and he's like, well, that's Captain America and he's dead. But also like you can, the two of them, because of the way their like time skip works, like if Steve has Tony Stark and he knows Howard Stark, it's like, okay, is this a relative of yours? Like, I can see that being a thing. And Tony has Steve who's dead, and if they have birthdays, it's like, if Steve just has the birthday of somebody who's born 70 years in the future, it's like, am I 100 and you're a baby when we meet? Like, there's just so many ways for time shenanigans to play into their soulmate set.
I would love it too. I've never read this, but I would love it if somehow Steve and Tony being soulmates is what drove Howard to be like the worst human on the planet.
Oh, that's definitely, I've seen ones where Tony having Steve as his soul, like having his name or whatever, is one of the outlets for Howard's abuse because he wishes he had Steve instead of the kid he does have, if you know what I mean. Like, he wanted to find Steve. Tony can't live up to that. And then, like, Tony has this soulmate that's this idolized person that Howard remembers as being, like, perfect when he died, kind of, because it's been so long. And that becomes, like, a whole cycle for Tony's relationship with Howard. I like that, and I have seen that done. I think I've thrown mentions at least of that into a couple of my soulmate picks. I like that.
Yeah, I think I've hinted at it, but I've not really ever done a whole treatment of it.
I've never done a fic that had a lot of Howard in it, so.
Yeah, I have a couple times. I Social Worker Flame coming out, but I like playing with that dynamic a lot. And
I like reading it. I'm not interested in writing it generally.
That's fair. I mean, there's a lot of things I enjoy reading and not writing. So. Nearly every kink that I like reading falls into that category. It's funny. I like writing symbols a lot more than I like writing words. Because I feel a real pressure to come up with creativity around words and it not just be someone's name.
Words are hard. Like phrases. Like, oh, well, that's been
done 400 times. So like what words could I use? And sometimes I play around with languages or I play around with like, okay, well, what if it's an inside joke? And like the first part is set, like it's, that stresses me out a lot more. I have a lot more fun with symbols, but when I read, I do not care. I like them all completely equally.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I also like creative takes on it when other people do it, but also just like, I will read exactly the same, like I have your name on my wrist story 400 times. So like
400 times.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I put pressure on myself. I put on no one else.
I think it's, for me, it's less that it's the pressure and more that like, I don't feel inspired to write it unless something unique comes to my mind as a way to do it. Like unless there's a twist or an edge to it to grab my brain, then I don't even know what I would write. Like there's, the words just don't come. But if I can come up with some, like every now and then it'll just pop into my head that there's like a slightly interesting way to play this. And then that's when I'll really run with it. So I think that's why most of my soulmate fics I write end up being like at least an attempt to be somewhat twisty with the tropes, but I want to read them all. If I could just turn them out, I probably would.
Yeah, and we're at different places in our writing journey, and so I'm still trying to push as many boundaries in myself as I can, and inspiration, it works differently for the two of us. But I think really it's still, to me, it's being creative, and to you, it's being inspired, and we're saying the same thing just in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause yeah, if I can't get interested, I mean, cause that's even in long fix, like I'm wrapping up a common gutter snipe right now. And I know what has to happen in every single chapter. Like I've had this outlined extensively, obsessively for 6 months, but until I can figure out the opening scene, I can't write the chapter.
Yeah, I'm stuck in a long fic right now for like, similar. I'm like, I know what needs to happen, but I don't see it. The movie isn't playing, so it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And then I was the idiot who was like, hey, everybody, it's going to be finished by the end of March. And I'm sitting here and it's
oh, God, it's the 23rd.
Shit. But anyway, it's that kind of thing. I think that soulmates as a trope, no matter what spectrum you fall on in how you want to interact with choice, and how you want to interact with universe intervention or the different kinds of, I love reading platonic soulmates. I love reading fics where Steve has two marks and one's a platonic one and one's a romantic one. I love those fics. And I've written one like that where Tony and Steve were both born with two marks and you don't know which one is platonic or romantic until you're in the relationship with the person. And so Tony and Pepper have the same mark and they thought for sure it was a romantic one, but it's the platonic one.
Yeah, I like that. I recently got into that.
He shows up and he has the romantic mark. And like, I love that. I love the idea of platonic soulmates. I love the idea of asexual soulmates. I love the idea of familial soulmates. Like to me, the best soulmate fics acknowledge that there's stuff outside of the romantic soulmates.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I said this in the Let's Talk, but like, there's like 100 more questions I want to ask people. And we hadn't dived into it yet when we did the poll, but there's so much more there. I think we can fundamentally say that like a lot of people love soulmate fics. A lot of people who love soulmate fics have boundaries within the category that they either prefer or like at the exclusion of other ones. So for some people it's, I like soulmate fics as long as, and that's often some element of choice. We did talk about choice is like one of those defining things for a lot of people for soulmates. And I definitely know there's lots of people out there who just don't like the concept at all. They don't want to see it. They don't like soulmate fics. And a lot of people who say they don't like soulmate fics cite choice as a reason that they don't. So once again, if that's you, let us know because we want to hear more about it.
Absolutely. As always, we always want to hear more from you. All right, Ferret, we have come to that point of the episode, the all-important trope-off update.
I love this part. This is my favorite part right now.
It's become one of my favorite things about the pod. I love it.
All right, so last time we spoke, we were in the midst of the multiverse versus enemies to lovers poll, which I didn't mention, I don't think, but it is our first winner's bracket face-off. So these are both ones that have won a previous, oh no, wait, that's a lie. It's our first winner's bracket, but they're still being matched up with ones that haven't been included yet. So Enemies to Lovers had already won one, but Multiverse hadn't been seen yet.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Okay. Because we have to do like a couple of rounds to get everybody actually on the floor, if you will.
Okay.
So Enemies to Lovers had beaten Mpreg 75-25.
That was a handy victory.
Yeah. How do you think it fared against Multiverse?
I'm going to guess it's still one, but maybe a little bit closer.
You are technically correct.
Okay. But like, it's like 76% or something.
Yeah, it was 73.
Okay.
To 27. So okay. 2% difference. So it was a very, very, very little difference in its win, just slightly less decisive. But basically, I don't think that that's statistically significant. So we're going to say pretty much the same. Enemies to Lovers cruising on. It will be in round three of the winner's bracket. Very impressive. A handy win. People do love Enemies to Lovers.
I'm trying to think what could defeat Enemies to Lovers.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we haven't actually seen them all yet. So
I'm just thinking, like, in the pantheon of tropes, like, it's on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
In Marvel fandom.
I think that Enemies to Lovers with Multiverse could be very complicated, but cool.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
That would be super fun. Well, then again, I think you can do Enemies to Lovers. I think I've read Enemies to Lovers with Multiverse a ton of times. Every time somebody writes a fic where, like, Steve and Tony and Bucky from, like, one universe meet the ones from the other ones, and they're like,
why don't you love each other?
Oh, you guys still hate each other. Oh god.
Yeah.
Like
in a sense, Lost Together is kind of multiverse enemies to lovers, but they don't meet multiverse versions of themselves. They just go to another dimension.
That's true. But I mean on a technicality, you've written it.
Yeah, I think I can claim that trophy.
I like it.
So last weekend we had another one.
Okay.
Interesting face-off. These both had already won one. So these are two winners up against each other. Mafia Ma Bayou, which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Wump, which we also talked about a couple weeks ago.
My gracious.
Head-to-head.
Okay.
Mafia had beaten Unrequited Feelings 59-41. So it was a slight win. And Wump had beaten Sex Pollen 62-38. So solid, but not decisive.
Right.
Mafia versus Wump. I think also it goes without saying that these could be deliciously combined.
Yes, obviously.
Like the like mob boss whose partner gets like taken and tortured and then rescued. There's so much hurt comfort, and the badass who's like killing everyone to get to the person they love. Yeah. There's some like John Wick vibes in there. That could be good.
Oh, for sure.
Well, do you want to guess who won?
Womp, but not that, but not by much.
Close, but the opposite.
Oh, okay. I'm not surprised. It was a toss-up in my brain. So.
It was nearly a toss-up on Twitter. So Mafia Ma Bayou took 53%. Womp took 47%. So it was a tight race. It was a very tight race. Mm-hmm. And that puts, so Womp and Multiverse are now bumped down into the loser's bracket. They'll be facing off against other losers, but they're going into the loser's bracket with Multiverse is new, but Womp is going into the loser's bracket with one win and one loss. So it still needs a second loss to be out, whereas some of them, they'll go out with two losses. So at least Womp has a win under its belt to take home at the end of the day.
A participation trophy, if you will.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are we in the middle of right now?
Flame, what are we in the middle of right now?
This oh my God, is this like an existential question now?
Oh no, this is like, this one is going to be, I don't know. I don't know which okay. I would vote for. We have got Huddling for Warmth.
Oh, a classic.
Versus Friends with Benefits.
Oh, Jesus, hell.
Right?
Because those that actually is combined like all the time.
Yeah. And like, yeah, those are two tropes you can just kind of put into anything. And I am there. And like, you mix it with so many others. It's just, they're like real tropey tropes.
I mean, like Huddling for Warmth is so adjacent to clothes sharing.
Yeah.
This feels like your algorithm has personally attacked.
It's like hurt comfort plus clothes sharing plus like
fuck buddies.
Yeah. Plus potential womp plus like, oh, there's just, it's like a combination of all my favorite foods. So like, these are the days that I am glad that as the arbiter of Trope Off, I cannot vote.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
The mayor of Trope Off, if you will. The
sure. Well, or I like Empress or something else where we can get you a crown.
Oh yeah. You know, I'm always in for a crown.
Yeah. I just feel like mayor isn't big enough.
It's true. You're so right.
we need to dream bigger here, Ferret. Like, own your power.
Well, my power right now is that I'm looking ahead of what we've got coming up. And guys, it's only going to get harder. Like, Huddling for Warmth, Friends with Benefits. I want to see what you guys pick, but like, I have a feeling fans going to be screaming at me in the coming weeks because, yeah, this is a challenge.
It's coming together.
Though.
I don't know which one this might be one where I close my eyes and let my mouse click.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Make sure you remember which one you end up voting for so we can talk about it next time.
Yeah. I went for Wump, by the way, between Wump and Mafia, which no one should be surprised about that. But
oh, yeah. Did you pick Enemies to Lovers as well?
Yes.
Multiverse. Yeah.
Yeah. For the simple fact that like, I love Multiverse, and I think I since we haven't talked about Multiverse, I'll say this, I adore Multiverse. Mm. And it's one that like, I would love to write a grand Multiverse story. I love writing Multiverse one shots where especially Steve, Tony, or Bucky comes in from like the MCU verse into a universe where everybody's emotionally adjusted.
Yeah.
I love playing with that, or I love them making references to like other fics I've written. Like, I love tiny things like that. But Enemies to Lovers is why I'm in Stony.
Yeah, I think anyone who watched Avengers and saw the sexual tension in that in the Scepter scene is gonna like Enemies to Lovers. Like,
I can't get. I mean, it's like why I'm in Winter Iron. Like it's like why I'm in this fandom in a lot of ways. So I couldn't not. And I discovered Multiverse long after I stumbled into the fandom. So it just felt like a betrayal to not go Enemies to Lovers.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, get thinking, vote for Huddling for Warmth or Friends with Benefits because your favorite trope's only going to win if you vote for it. Don't forget it's over on my Twitter at FestaFerret. And you don't have to be following me, but you do have to go vote and you do have to have Twitter. If you guys have any ideas for prompts for how to combine any of the Trope Offs polls that we've had so far, please, you can comment on the Twitter. You can send them to us in any of our many ways. We would love, love, love to hear from you. The prompts are my favorite part and we haven't had a whole lot of them this time around. So do hit me up. And we'll be back in next episode to talk about who won this one. Who's going to win next weekend when we don't have an episode, but I will be posting a trope off. And then what is coming up during next weekend's episode. So hopefully we'll see you then.
Hi, fandom. I'm Only More Love, and I'm back with your events forecast. This is where I'll tell you all about what's going on challenge-wise in a Marvel fandom near you. So buckle up and let's go. A small note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast, linked and explained in the show notes for each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Let's move on to the fun stuff now. The mods of the What to Finish auction have announced a mini auction round to support Asian communities in light of recent events. Signups will open on June 15th, and the rest of the schedule, as well as the guidelines and other info, can be found on their blog. And here's a reminder that the Marvel Reverse Bang is back, but different. With its new six-phase formula, the mods aim to find you a partner no matter how rare your ship is, by dividing the many parts of our fandom into their own phase, and therefore their own bang within the bang. For more information and detailed rules and dates on each phase, please visit the blog. Signups are currently open for the Earth's Mightiest phase. The signups for the Star-Spangled Big Bang are open to authors until April 2nd, for artists until June 4th, with claims happening on June 11th. Centering around Team Cap characters, this bang welcomes any fic, shippy or gen, that focuses on at least one of the characters that makes up Team Cap. The minimum word count is 10K, and posting is set for September. Do you have it in you? A super family exchange has been announced. Signups will occur between April 1st and April 15th, with a deadline for creators to have finished their work set for June 22nd. Find more information on their blog, as well as on their Discord server. Also still at the forefront of our minds is the new CapIM Fest, the Universe Medley Fest. It takes the form of a prompt fest, with each month dedicated to a different universe, as well as a remix challenge, and the opportunity to run your own mini-challenge centered around the universe of the month. This fest aims to give us more Steve Tony content across the multiverse. The first universe is Earth 3490. The Shrunky Clunks Big Bang is also still open for artist signups until April 17th, while the Loki Rare Pair Bang, a mixed bang with claims of both fic and art, is still accepting both kinds of signups until April 1st. Rare Loki shippers, this one's for you. Check out the blog for the full schedule and rules. The Steggy Bingo Bash is open for late signups until March 30th, so if you missed your chance to grab a card the first time, this is for you. A Stucky Week has been announced well in advance and will run from July 5th through July 11th, but the prompts are already available on their blog, so please go check them out, as well as their rules, so you can prep beforehand. An Iron Dad remix event has opened signups. They will stay open until March 31st, and posting will begin June 7th, so there's plenty of time to create something great. The minimum word count is 1,000 words. Feeling like remixing some Iron Dad and Spider-Son content? Check out the blog for more rules and the complete schedule. The Iron Strange Big Bang is back, with a minimum of 12,000 words for writers and 2 illustrations for artists. The bang will open signups to writers from March 14th through April 11th. To artists from May 17th through June 14th, and claims will happen from June 28th through July 12th. Posting will be set to start on November 12th. At your keyboards and brushes, people! You can still claim a prompt in the Black Characters Matter Prompt Fest until April 2nd, with a minimum requirement of 500 words for fic, and also welcoming a wide variety of mediums. They also have a Discord server you can join to chat about your fills and all Black Marvel characters. Claims for the Sam Wilson Fest are open, and will stay that way until April 23rd. Posting will happen between April 24th and May 2nd. There are no minimums, and all mediums are allowed. Please don't miss out. The mods for Darcy Lewis Bingo are hosting a mini bingo in honor of the character's birthday on April 1st. The event will accept submissions for its prompts from April 1st to April 4th. Go check out their page if you happen to ship our boys with Dr. Lewis. Signups and fills for the following are still ongoing. CapIM Bingo. Marvel Fluff Bingo, Marvel Holiday Fest, Cap IMCOM Remix Events, and Bingo, STB, Steve Tony Bucky Bingo, as well as the Lights on Park Avenue monthly prompts. And that's it for this episode, friends. This has been your events forecast. I'll see you next episode. Until then, be safe and happy shipping.
And that is a wrap on episode 3. Thanks again to B for our cover art, Only and Marie for the events forecast, and to everybody who told us what they loved about Soulmates.
If you want to get in touch with us, all of our socials in the show notes. You can leave anonymous fandom feelings in the form linked there or attach your name to a question, suggestion, love note, anywhere else.
If you listen to this on a podcast, please rate and review us. It really, really, really does help fellow fandom friends find us. And that was so many Fs. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's kind of on brand, Flame.
Oh, you're right, Ferret.
Well, we're getting a little silly, so it's time to sign off. Thanks to you all for listening, and we will see you again in a few weeks for episode 4.
You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.